Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing. From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate, Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harris. I'm very happy to be here. Nate Taylor is here as well, getting you ready for Monday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Commanders. Nate, you know what? I actually kind of miss when they call themselves the football team. I understand why they had to change their name from the team, and I don't have any problem with that. I understand that it was time to move on and find yourself a different name.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Washington football team.
If their uniforms would have been just a little better, if it was even what they have now, I can agree with you. It's it's funny that they were just known as the football team, and yet everybody knew who you were talking about, which I think is a unique sort of branding strategy. I get that they're in Washington, and I understand that you have to do, you know, something that is related to where you're from. Totally get that. You say Commanders, good. I mean, left hand up, I'll do it, you know. But, I mean, the football team was kind of cool, you know, because it felt like the old school, like when people of a certain age say the New York football Giants, you know exactly what you're talking about, even though we include football because at one point in time, ladies and gentlemen, there was a baseball team called the New York Giants. So that would have been kind of cool because they are that sort of foundational NFC East sort of, you know, traditional NFL franchises. But I mean, I guess we'll call them the Commanders. That's fine. But I like the football team.
So there's a lot of things I want to get your opinion on. Let's start with this, because we've led with this a couple of days this week. What percentage chance would you give it that the Chiefs trade for a defensive lineman? Doesn't have to be an end, doesn't have to be a tackle. What percentage chance would you give it that they trade for a defensive lineman?
I would be shocked if they didn't. It's going to happen, kids. We've seen this too many times where, you know, it was not a secret last year with the receiving issues and the fact that they had to go get someone relatively quickly, even before the deadline, that of course was DeAndre Hopkins. We've seen them do it before with, now I know it didn't work out last time with Josh Uche, so I know there's going to be some apprehension amongst the fan base.
But kind of where I am.
Yeah, but I get the sense that, like, you know, much like last year, every team in the league knew you needed a receiver. You still got a quality one in DeAndre Hopkins for that season. You can do the same thing with defensive linemen. I know there's been names that have floated out. I can't give you one in particular that's like leading the pack, because we still need to see how these games, what the outcomes of these games are this upcoming Sunday. So you need another, you know, reference point as you get closer to that November 4th trade deadline. The Chiefs could take it all the way to the 4th just so they don't feel like they're being price gouged, just because their situation is so dire at defensive tackle. It was hilarious today, Carrington, that Steve Spagnuolo says, well, we can just put Leo at defensive tackle. No. You can only do that for so long, coach. So let's not take Leo Chanel out of his actual role that he's pretty good at. Just so people know, they only have Chris Jones, Jerry Tillery, and Derek Nnadi. That's it as a defensive tackle standpoint. Yes, you can move Mike Dana inside. Yes, you can do that with Charles Omenihu on third down. But they need depth in a bad way. So I would still prefer defensive tackle over defensive end. But if a deal comes about that you think is favorable to you, you got to take it, because they just need more bodies. And they have not really had that many injuries on this team this season. That's been one of the reasons why they are the clear Super Bowl favorites. They're one of the healthier teams when you look at it from a holistic standpoint. But the one clear issue on depth right now is at defensive tackle, and they could obviously get slightly better at defensive end, even though we are seeing progress from Charles Omenihue. And you know what to expect from George Karloftis towards the end of the season.
So when are they bringing back Colin Saunders?
Tomorrow. Let's do it.
Let's
do it, baby.
This is the thing. Because I know people are going to be asked, like, well, then who do you want him to go get? It doesn't matter who I want him to go get.
Anybody.
The Chiefs only have the number of 75 NFL players. That's all they know. So whenever they need a running back, it's like, well, have you played for us before? Well, let's go get Kareem Hunt.
Right.
Have you played for us before? Let's go get Derek Nnadi.
They did it
let's
twice with Mecole Hardman.
Let's go get Colin Saunders. So, yeah, I mean, right now you're telling me they need a defensive line.
Yes.
Colin Saunders is available. He's making basically no money this year. They're about to go trade for Colin Saunders in a week, and yes, everybody will be happy that he's back.
Right, and he hasn't been playing much in Jacksonville, which doesn't make sense for as to why they traded
for him. No, it makes perfect sense. He's about to go play for the Chiefs. Try to keep him healthy for the correct playoff run, yeah, for the Chiefs.
Right. We've already talked before about the financial situation with Christian Fulton, where it's like, why hasn't he played? It's like, well, got to keep him healthy so that you can get that off the books to some degree. I'm not sure Christian Fulton's going to be available on Monday night based on how things go Sunday. I do love the text line. They're like, Frank Clark is here. Sure. Bring him back too. I mean,
I did see those pictures. That was real. That wasn't just some social media nonsense. Yes. He was really in town. Now, I mean, yes, I think he was in town for some family personal stuff. I don't think he's coming back, but.
Right. But I mean, we also saw, what was it, earlier today that Colin Saunders was at an airport with Yao Ming. Sure. Sure. He could be going anywhere. But yeah, they need to make phone calls really. Okay, if I think about this logically, they do need to start making, you know, informative phone calls on Monday before they even play the Commanders, right? Hey, let me just check in. Let me just see if anybody's talking with you. Are you ready to cut, you know, cut bait on so and so? You ready to get draft picks? Hey, you ready to get out in front of the deadline or out in front of teams you know, who might, you know, still be interested in like maybe holding on to a piece or two? That's all got to be in play, and they do. I mean, the only, if Christian Fulton's not here in a month and you build up or at least create more depth on the defensive line standpoint, where is the weakness outside of maybe a dynamic running back? But I said this yesterday with Bob and Dusty, like they're still scoring over half of their drives this season. They're scoring at a 52% pace, where we get the ball, that is going to equate to points, touchdown, field goal, whatever. They would not have that many weaknesses before you go on the stretch run to, you know, Thanksgiving and obviously for the playoffs.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. If somebody asked you right now who's the Chiefs' left tackle, what's your answer?
I'm glad you asked me this. Okay, let me parse this out. For the next 2 weeks, it's Jalen Moore. After the bye week, I have no idea. Because after what Andy Reid shared with us yesterday about the fact that, hey, it's positive, it's nothing negative, Josh is handling a family situation. Well, I remember saying a couple weeks ago that I thought Josh would come back to the team. I didn't necessarily know when, but at some point my feeling was he would come back. The Chiefs are starting to believe he will come back. So when will that happen? I'm not necessarily sure. It could be during the bye week. It could be later in November. Obviously, if you haven't played, if you haven't practiced, you're going to need time to get back into playing shape. I don't know how the team will necessarily try to integrate him. But again, as I've, you know, been chatting with folks,
I don't know how you get your job back if it's that scenario. So let's play it out at least this way. I think you and it sounds like you and I are on the same page. He is not playing on Monday night. That's confirmed.
Correct.
He's not going to play in the Buffalo game.
That'd be hard to believe.
Stunned if he's been away this long. You haven't been playing, haven't been practicing, haven't been watching film.
Right.
And you show up, you're going to play in the most important game that they have.
Now, the only way he could play in the Buffalo game, I believe, is A, he comes back, and B, he goes through maybe a practice or two, and he is the emergency option in case Jalen Moore gets
that's
hurt.
That's fair. That's fair.
Other than that, no, I cannot see him starting these next two games.
So then I would say, just stay away until the bye week. Handle whatever you need to handle, whatever it is going on. But when everybody reports back for the bye week, which is in 3 weeks from now, hey, you've been gone for over a month now at this point. Are you playing football with us this year? If you're not playing football with us this year, okay, we just got to make a different decision. We got to make a different option, all of those kind of things.
Yep.
But I think now at this point, the question is after the bye week, and then after the bye week, are you now going to be our starter and we are prepared that way? Because to me, whoever's their starting left tackle when they head to Denver to play that road game, that's their starting left tackle for the rest of the season. That's how I would operate if I'm the Chiefs. If everybody is healthy, that's what we're doing.
So the problem is, and I don't want to make light of this, the problem is he is so bleeping talented that, like, that's why you invested a first-round pick. That's why he played the first five games. There were no issues from a football standpoint. So whatever it takes for him to get back into the swing of things, make sure everything's good on the family, personal side. Obviously, we all, you know, work better. We are all more productive if things are good at home in our personal lives. So once that starts to get clarity, starts to clear up, then yeah, he's better than Jalen Moore, guys. I'm sorry. Like, Jalen Moore's really good. He's an amazing insurance policy, at least through these first two games. And I don't think he'll be really challenged much on Monday night against the Commanders. So, amazing guy to have. But this kid's the future. And despite how mysterious this all is, despite how strange it was handled, you know, from a team standpoint, from, you know, his side of things, like, again, you don't want to get into, like, someone's personal business a ton, but hey, our job is to try to figure out, like, hey, when are you going to come back to work? When are you going to come back with the team? But he's worth it. Like, I'm trying to be very clear, ladies and gentlemen, like, whatever you think of Josh Simmons right now, he's still worth it and more. That's how talented he is. And so if the Chiefs can help him, if he can get help on his own, if he gets a bigger support staff around him just to take care of his own life, let alone like his profession, then that's going to be better for everybody.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. What's going on with Trey Smith? Is he going to play in this game? Because it sounds questionable, like he's going to be on the field for this one.
Right. Andy will give us an update tomorrow. He has not practiced these last 2 days. I think if it was a playoff game, he would play. I'm not sure he'll play on Monday. You know, because it's back spasms, because it's lower back spasms, hey, you obviously made an investment in the offseason. You made him at the time the highest paid interior offensive lineman in the league. But you can miss one game. And we got Buffalo and we got the bye week coming up. I understand if the Chiefs say, hey, let's do the cooler thing. We saw them do that with Xavier Worthy. Again, I reported here on the show that I thought for sure Xavier Worthy was going to play in some limited role against the Giants in week 3, the Chiefs said, hey, let's just cool it off just a little bit. Let's be smart about this. It's still real early in the season. He came back a week later, obviously performed well against the Ravens. So we could see a similar situation where, hey, Mike Caliendo came into the game, and I know it's the Raiders, and I know they stink. But, hey, if they stink, go out there and dominate them. He dominated them. Didn't have any issues with Patrick in terms of protection in the third quarter. So it's another chance for maybe Mike Caliendo to get into the mix, see how much he's improved against another opponent based on last year. And then, hey, maybe Trey Smith comes back for the all-important showdown against the Buffalo Bills.
Can we go back for just a little bit? Because I haven't got a – I don't think I've ever asked you this question before.
Okay.
When did you start writing your game notes story?
Like, what do you mean?
Just the game is – you know, normally you got to wait till the end of the game.
Yeah.
The game is over.
Yeah.
I'm guessing like mid-second quarter, you were like, all right, let's go get this work done early. Yeah. When did you start that process?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Thank you. Back when I used to cover the Indiana Pacers when I was NBA reporter for the Indianapolis Star, I used to call it writing time. Like, because you can even tell in NBA games, okay, these boys don't have it. It's January. It's writing time. And I made that joke, you know, that was kind of a wink, wink to Winning Time, the great 30 for 30 documentary on Spike Lee, Reggie Miller, and those 90 Knicks series in the 90s. So writing time for me was halftime. It's 21 zip?
Yeah, it was over.
There's no way.
It was over at halftime.
There's no way.
I'm going to be real with you. At halftime, I put it over to the – I put Red Zone on the main TV, and I put the Chiefs on the other one.
Of course.
Like, I'm going to keep an eye on it, but this can't get my undivided attention anymore. No. The Raiders didn't do undivided attention energy Sunday.
You know, it's crazy. The two notes that I had the third quarter was – because remember, the Chiefs got the ball to start the third quarter, and they went on another long drive to score a touchdown. I literally saw Drew Tranquil, Brian Cook, and Jalen Watson stretching in the on the sidelines. Like, literally stretching, like, man, we ain't played in a while. Like, let me just make sure I get right. And then the second one was right after they scored that touchdown to go up 28-0. You could just see the pep in the step of Gardner Minshew. Ooh, baby. Here we go.
He got him ready to hand it off. He was practicing.
I'm about to play. Let me get some passes on the sideline here. And of course, what they do, another possession, they get a field goal. They let Gardner Minshew hand it off a million times in the fourth quarter.
Is it not crazy that they didn't throw a pass on their final three possessions?
Yes.
Like, there's so many crazy stats from that one. Like, they didn't throw a pass on their final three possessions. They need the ball before the two-minute warning. You've never seen a team need the ball before the two-minute warning before. Like, there are so many ridiculous things that happen in Sundays.
Yes, and again, he ain't got no ill will to Pete Carroll. This is not like Andy Reid. I'm spilling the beans a little bit, you know, trickling out little by little. But I think there's really some coaching animosity between Andy Reid and Sean Payton. Andy Reid don't got no problems with Pete Carroll. He just said, hey, bro, like, I'm sorry, dog. Like, we just got to knee it out. Like, you know, we just want to get to the locker room. We just want everybody to get healthy. Hey, good luck. See you next town down the road. I think they play, in the regular season. So Andy Reid's always mindful of, like, hey, if it's a division opponent and we breaking the beats off of them, like, let's just cool it for a little bit. But at one point in the fourth quarter, I said, come on, Gardner. We know who you are. You are not Carson Wentz. You are not Chad Henne. Go on and check out of that run. Give me one play action. Just one play action. Because, of course, last year he was leading their team in September, and then he got hurt, and then they cut him. So it's like, hey, man, that's the team that cut you. Come on, dog. Just for fun's sakes, for giggles, just check out of that easy draw play and give me an audible for a pass. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. So maybe we'll see Gardner Minshew again in Las Vegas, what, after New Year's Day, you know, when we maybe know what the Chiefs, you know, what their situation is in Week 18, whether they need to win or whether it's a full Gardner Minshew game against his former team.
When was the last time the Chiefs offense was this good?
2022, my friend. I'm looking at it right now. There were stats, because I just wrote this piece for ESPN.com that's going to come out Monday. It's about Rashee Rice. It's about the Chiefs offense. And finally, kids, again, if we think Josh Simmons is coming back, if we think Jalen Moore is good, if Mike Caliendo holds it down for another game and Trey Smith is going back to his usual self, what in the world is going to stop this offense? Because right now, the best offense in the league is the Colts. But it might change in the second half, guys. They're averaging 35.5 points per game in the last four games. Of course, they scored 31 in three quarters. As I said before, they're scoring on, you know, more than half their drives. Mahomes is mean. He's one of the best protected quarterbacks in all of the league. So he went from taking more than 100 hits, Carrington, even though they won, you know, 15 games, to now he's not getting hit really at all based on the structure of the offense. And every metric that I'm looking at is somewhat similar to 2022. Patrick Mahomes had 45 total touchdowns to be the MVP in 2022. He is on pace to do more than that this season. The offense, let me look at these stats real quick. I think the offense led the league in scoring that year. The Chiefs can, once again, they are trending in that direction to do it again. So it has not been this fun. And I think Patrick is just starting to allude to it, but it has not been this fun for him with this many options and being protected since they went on that sort of rolling rampage in 2022, the first year without Tyreek Hill.
This is why, at least, I feel like I've been one of the big proponents for Matt Nagy. Like, I don't want to make it seem like I think he's doing some fantastic job, but I felt like a lot of people were making the point of how much better the offense was with Eric Bieniemy. Well, Eric Bieniemy had a different version of Travis Kelce and a different version of Tyreek Hill during this point.
Correct.
So, like, now,
yes,
we're not nearly complaining about play calling and explosive plays because they got better offensive players. When you got Rashee Rice, you got Xavier Worthy, and now Hollywood, your three, Juju's your four. Like, their fourth wide receiver could be Tyquan Thornton on this team.
Yes.
So, yes, their offense is drastically improving because they just got better parts and better pieces, where I feel like there was a lot of criticism towards Mahomes at times when I've always felt like it was more the pieces around the quarterback and not him.
Yes. And, you know, if I was on the campaign trail for Matt Nagy, it would actually be, hey, if you want to try him again as a head coach, he has actually shown that he can develop young players. What they've done with Rashard Smith is him and Andy Reid. You know, Xavier Worthy was not supposed to be this player as a rookie. He exceeded all expectations based on the predicament that they all were in with him, especially in the second half of the season. They integrated Rashee Rice beautifully against the Raiders. And again, he's only going to get better because he's only going to get in better shape. He's going to get more snaps. And of course, the quarterback's playing well. So that takes development too. Like, Patrick Mahomes' development is so small, it almost feels minuscule, but he has actually been better this season than at this point last season. And that is saying something, because Mahomes was still playing at a very high level last year, but the circumstances are so much better, and yet the coaching and the play calling and the scheming things up has really gotten back to a high level since Xavier Worthy came back, which is to your point, hey, you give me good players, I know how to scheme it up. I know how to coach it up. I know how to get guys to be team-oriented, and also when their opportunity comes to, you know, rise to the occasion and exceed at a high level. Now, the question will become consistency, how you get better. Another thing that is coaching-related is...
I mean, the only place for their offense to improve is the run game, and I just don't know if they can improve with the pieces that they currently have at running back.
But the best part of the run game is Rashee Rice. Like, they could just throw him the ball at any time. And he is an extension of the run game based on what Matt Nagy has told me, based on how dynamic and athletic he can be with the ball in his hands, especially breaking tackles or just getting additional yards. Even if you throw him the ball behind the line of scrimmage, there's still enough other options to worry about that even the short passing game is an extension of the running game. The other point that I would make is we say coaching comes down to a couple things normally on a broad scale: penalties, turnovers. They have the fewest turnovers in the league, two. And one of them, Patrick Mahomes threw the ball literally into Travis Kelce's hands, and we all remember that from the Eagles game. Penalties were an issue through the first four or five games.
We ain't heard Juwan Taylor since he got engaged. He's a whole new man.
Look, man.
I like this version of Juwan Taylor. Where was he at?
Hey, he looked up and said, oh, wait, this is a contract year.
He was finally ready to settle down. Yes, that's what sir. Happened. Hey, he's a new man now.
He really
I like this version of him.
He really had his first game. I think this is the case. He really had his first game without a penalty. Was this the Baltimore game? And then he said, you know what? Let me get dressed real quick and let me handle my business with my queen, right? let me get on that knee for my queen. So he's been excellent, like excellent. The Lions said, okay, all right, maybe Jalen Moore, you know, yeah, he a real player. You know what? Aiden Hutchinson, go on the other side. Max Crosby, go on the other side. And Juwan Taylor's just been like, no, it's not an easier advantage here too. Like I can play really well if I'm not penalized. So the Chiefs have cut down their penalties. Of course, they didn't have any against the Lions. And they're not turning the ball over. That's coaching. That's a emphasis on concentration, on focus, on understanding your technique, so that you can obviously keep the ball and keep getting, you know, further and closer to the end zone. I mean, it's just, I understand. Like, the problem is, and this is for any offensive, defensive coordinator that's getting it done, is, hey, man, we're going to take you out of this situation so that you can please help us. Like, and I just look at Tennessee and I go, whoo, that's a lot of work, dog. So if he gets another opportunity, all congrats to Matt Nagy. But right now he's coaching really, really well because of all the things we've mentioned, you know, just a few minutes ago.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to put you on the spot again. We'll also take a closer look at Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Commanders from Arrowhead Monday night. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. With Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what, Nate? We have made a very terrible mistake this week on the show, and it's not your fault, it's my fault.
Okay.
We have been talking about the Commanders all week, and this is the first time that we've played.
Yes.
Left hand up. Who are we? Commanders.
The Commanders. Rob, how will we forget? How will we not play
so
the Commanders song yet?
We got all focused on our college teams. Just lost track of the Commanders.
It was Big 12 Media Day this week, or Media Days.
Yeah, just can't believe that. Don't worry, on Monday we'll get it back.
Sounds like your producer's a massive KU fan.
He's been so stressed this week.
Why are you stressed? They said he's the best kid in America.
Oh, he's talking about Darren Peterson.
No. Oh, you're talking about the basketball. I'm talking about the football.
They're getting beat again, aren't they?
That's why he's stressed.
Why are you stressed? It's at home, right?
Yeah, that's why he's stressed.
You going to it?
Of course. Yeah, that's why he's stressed.
Rain. Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be
hey,
bad.
Hey, man. Get you. I want you to get nights and blitzed, okay? And then you'll be fine. You know, just make
you
sure
on going out there like 7 o'clock too.
Make sure the wife drive you home, right? But I just need you to get nice and lathered up, and then you know everything will be fine, man. They've only lost 18 in a row, right?
He got like a shift going out there from like 7 to 3. That's what he got to then work a shift and then watch your team lose.
Get your team beat same team in your own state.
Oh my goodness! All right, so last week we challenged you, where I pulled up every person who had coached for the Raiders over the last 20 years.
And I did poorly.
I've done the same thing with the Commanders.
Don't do this to me.
All right. Right now, the number is that they've had 7 coaches in the last 20 years. So not that bad.
Okay.
Especially 14, that ain't been that great. I'm a little surprised.
I am a little bit too.
You know what? Daniel Snyder wasn't paying that buyout. He had no interest in paying the buyout. All right. I got the number right now at 7. Rob, what are we setting the over-under on for Nate Taylor here with 7 coaches in the last 20 years?
3.5.
Okay, just over half, yeah.
Why?
You know what? I'm going to bet.
I don't care about the Washington Commanders / football team.
I'm going to bet the under just for this. I think I might have only got 2. Like, when I started going through the list here.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, hit the music. We'll give you 30 seconds. How many of the last two?
I only got 2 right now, my friend. Okay. I only got 2.
Who do you got?
I got Quinn, and I got, obviously, Gruden.
Can you name one other coach for the Commanders in the last 20 years? When you got to play the game, I'll read him
Mike,
to you.
Mike Shanahan, right?
Yes, Mike Shanahan was one of those.
Only because he did it to man. RG3 would have a different life if Mike Shanahan wasn't his coach.
Very, very true. These are the coaches they've had in the last 7 years.
Rivera, right? Ron Rivera?
Oh, yeah. They did. Riverboat Ron. So we got 4. Hey.
Look at that. We workshopped this thing together. Joe Gibbs.
Yep.
Joe Gibbs was the coach from 04 to 07. He came back.
Why he come back?
Well, you want to know why they came back? Because at first they tried Steve Spurrier. Steve Spurrier wasn't there for very, very long.
No, he wasn't.
And then Joe Gibbs came back to save him. Jim Zorn. I had completely erased the Jim Zorn.
Me too.
Commander's years out of my mind. Mike Shanahan, Jay Gruden, Bill Callahan was an interim head coach for
real?
Them before they got Ron Rivera. And now currently Dan Quinn is the head coach of the Commanders. They had 7 coaches in the last. That wasn't as bad. The Raiders one was bad. This wasn't that one bad.
Raiders one was bad because they're in the division. And I've seen all those coaches for, 9 years now? Crazy. Yeah.
So at least when it comes to the Commanders, this is kind of the way I'm treating it.
Uh-huh.
I would feel a lot different about this game if Jaden Daniels was playing, just because I think Daniels is special enough where he could throw for 220, run for 75, and just really make it interesting where you won that game just because your quarterback is special.
Yep.
If you're going to remove their quarterback being special, I mean, I don't think the Chiefs just go in there and beat them like they beat the Raiders last week. I got more respect for the Commanders than that. But just like... Yeah. I just find it, with the way Kansas City is playing offensively and defensively right now, I think it would take either a really special effort from the Commanders to win this game, or they just win the turnover battle 2-0. And the Chiefs, as you mentioned, they just haven't turned the football over this season. I just don't find many ways that I can predict that the Commanders can win this game.
And even with the return of Deebo Samuel and you know, Terry McLaurin, like, the Chiefs have been pretty good about at least, you know, limiting your top offensive weapon, even in losses, right? The reason they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars is Trevor Lawrence's legs got involved, which was something that they didn't necessarily prepare for because they were focused on ETN and obviously Travis Hunter and the like. So Marcus Mariota would have to use his legs a ton to convert on third downs. I still think this is a great matchup for Chris Jones in particular to get pressure on Marcus Mariota because the you know, one of the reasons why Jaden Daniels is hurt is because the offensive line has not been as good as it was a year ago. So this should be a good matchup for Chris Jones to get after it. You know, George Karloftis might be a guy that can clean up some of the pressure, you know, with his own sort of, you know, tenacious play. Outside of turnovers, outside of, like, you know, maybe somebody, again, similar to, like, what happened with Philadelphia. Somebody has the ball or they maybe should catch it, you know, 8-9 times out of 10, but for whatever reason it bounces up, maybe gets intercepted. You know, one of the benefits of Kareem Hunt is he does not fumble the ball, even though he's been extremely effective in short yardage, especially on fourth down. And I would also tell Andy Reid, too, like, they got the best fourth down offense. So that is, in one way, trusting the Patrick Mahomes-led unit, and also it gives more time to the defense to have rest so that they can be effective. You know, they only had 30 plays against the Raiders. So it would take a Herculean effort for Mariota, but he would have to use his legs. He would have to be that real dual threat guy that could give, you know, Steve Spagnuolo's scheme a little bit of trouble. But it's going to take a lot for the Commanders' defense to hold up because, man, Dak Prescott was sliding them on fire last week.
You guys start having a conversation. Is Dak a top five quarterback in the league? Dak's been incredible so far this season. Healthy Dak Prescott is good. I feel like we always forget this, and I get it. The injuries in the postseason.
Right.
Like, if we were talking like a healthy Dak Prescott, especially when you've given him guys, you've given CeeDee and George Pickens, he's having a phenomenal season this year.
Yes.
Which kind of feels like it's under the radar, which is weird because it's the Cowboys.
Correct. But, you know, okay, you didn't want to pay Micah, but, like, this is why you would have paid him because they outside of their defense, and again, he would help their defense, they would be a legitimate contender in the NFC. Like, outside of maybe Tampa, the Rams, Packers, and Eagles, you know, I still have a lot of respect for the Eagles. The Cowboys could have been in that mix. I can't trust their defense because, you know, they took their best player and gave it to an interconference rival. But no, Dak's been excellent. I think the best quarterbacks this year have been Mahomes, Dak. I mean, Baker Mayfield, beyond just what happened on Monday, has been incredible. You know, we saw a hot start from Josh Allen. He's sort of come back to earth a little bit, so he needs to sort of rebound himself. But nah, man, even the plays where the Commanders did everything right, he still threw the ball right on the money, and it's just like, well, what do you do? And now they're going from that to a guy who can do the same thing in Mahomes.
I would like to point out that you, just based on your job, you got a chance to see some really cool stuff. You know, like, you've seen Super Bowls and great comebacks and all of these things. I don't think, whenever you write your book, and it's going to be a great book, I can't wait to read it.
Okay.
You're going to write a book on how you saw the worst call in the history of the National Football League.
Good snap back to Mariota. Being pressured, he is absolutely leveled. Now the ball comes out late. He is hit and dropped back at the 32-yard line. Derek Johnson came on the blitz and de-cleats Mariota. They say that he was down by contact before the football came out, and DJ came in a furious blitz. And Mariota goes down on a big loss back to his own 31.
I still don't understand the call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the interpretation.
How could you?
I mean this in all seriousness. It's the worst call I've ever seen. We've seen bad missed calls before. But I mean just he's standing there. He gets tackled. He fumbles the football. Forward progress. It's the worst call I've ever seen.
And if anyone's wondering at home or at their office or in the phone or in the car, guys, that game was refereed by none other than Jeff Triplett, who, yes, ladies and gentlemen,
he quit immediately afterwards.
As I look on his Pro Football Reference page, the NFL tapped him on the shoulder and said, "You're done. This is it. we cannot acknowledge this publicly, but you got to find another place of employment.
Do you think Roger made that call, or do you think he sent one of his goons to do that?
I would hope he sent a goon to do that.
you think he sent a goon?
Because, you know, I've talked to referees, officials, you know, not just the referee, but I've talked to officials before. They've been really great and courteous about, like, the process and the review and, like, how fast the game is and how much you have to be in tune to everything. And, hey, we're human. We're going to miss something. That's why they have, you know, not only the review situation, but now they have the automatic expedited process. You know, the first thing the officials do is go to their quiet locker room, you know, maybe take a shower, get dressed, and they immediately watch whatever questionable call happened. How do you think it was that day when like the home team season ended, right? So many things had to occur for the Shakespearean character that is Alex Smith for that to be his last game. And one of those reasons is Jeff Triplett in season 16. And think about this. I'm, again, on his pro reference page, guys. Anybody can go look this up. He never refereed two or more playoff games. So for 16 years, he was never good enough to referee multiple postseason games. And they gave him one after having zero postseason games in 14, 15, and 16.
And it was all right, here, finally, we'll give you a chance.
We'll give you Saturday afternoon in Arrowhead against the Titans, and he still screwed it up.
That game is always the Texans. It's always the Titans.
Of course.
For a decade now. That Nate Taylor of ESPN joining us in studio. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for football this weekend. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Today is the official opening of the streetcar expansion. If you missed our conversation with the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, we'll play that for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Let me remind you guys that today is a FanDuel Friday on The Drive. It is presented by FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. My bet this week is going to be very simple. I'm taking Missouri on the money line. I mean, there are probably better bets, better values out there, but at this point, I'm all the way in when it comes to Mizzou. So I'm taking Mizzou on the money line against Vanderbilt. Let's talk a little bit of college football. In this segment, I'm going to give you guys kind of a hodgepodge of college football and NFL thoughts that I have, and we'll talk more specifically about the coaches coming up in just a bit. I would say in college football this weekend, we have a couple of playoff games. If you look at the standings right now in the SEC, it is completely jumbled up. Texas A&M is 4-0. Alabama is 4-0. I think Alabama is the best team in the SEC. I think the way that they've played over the last month or so, they might be the best team in college football. I know what happened early in the year, but I think we got to start viewing college football a little bit more like the NFL, and especially with the transfer portal, NIL, all of these things. I don't know if we figure college football teams out in the same manner that we did 5-10 years ago. So you got those two teams undefeated at the top, and you got a bunch of teams right now with one loss. Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, Mizzou, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt. Now, the beauty of the SEC is a lot of these teams got to start playing each other. Missouri plays Vanderbilt this season. Missouri plays Oklahoma this season. Vanderbilt plays Texas after this Missouri game. So a lot of these teams right now that sit and have one loss, that's just not going to be the case in a couple of weeks because teams start playing each other. You cannibalize each other. That's why, to me, if you are looking at this through the lens of the Missouri Tigers, you got to start viewing these games as playoff games. And more than, I guess, more specifically, it unlocks the next portion of your season. We've talked about this stretch for Missouri where you had Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, A&M, etc. You had to go 3-2 likely in that stretch to give yourself a chance. Well, you lost the game to Alabama. Now it puts more and more pressure on every game that's following. So this game against Vanderbilt, you've got one loss. They got one loss. I mean, this feels like an elimination game of sorts for both of these teams. Two of the better stories in college football. Vanderbilt got the big home win last week. How do they emotionally respond in this game? You look at Missouri. You went on the road against Auburn, an absolute dogfight. Didn't run the ball successfully. Missed a field goal in overtime. This thing happened. This thing happened. And you figured out a way to win. This is why you join the SEC for these kind of stressful matchups and these kinds of games. So I'm looking at that like a potential playoff game. I'm looking at Ole Miss and their matchup against Oklahoma, very similar. I'm looking at it like a playoff game. If you're Oklahoma and you've already lost the game earlier this season to Texas, I mean, this is a difficult stretch of games. The next five games for Oklahoma are Ole Miss on the road against Tennessee, on the road against Alabama, Missouri, and LSU. I mean, an absolute gauntlet in this thing. And if you lose, you're eliminated and you'll go to a decent bowl, but it won't be one of the bowls that we really spend a lot of time talking about. Or every win gives you the opportunity to advance to the next week and see if you can make the college football playoff. So this isn't a marquee banner week by any means, I would say, in college football. But usually when that happens is when you get the nonsense, when you get the crazy, when you get the very random things that could possibly happen in a college football season, that could be what we're looking at. You're looking at a couple of teams that go on the road. You look at a team like BYU that goes on the road to play Iowa State. You look at a team like Texas A&M that goes on the road to play LSU. LSU and Iowa State, two teams that we thought were going to be in the mix, have kind of gone by the wayside, but could definitely end up playing spoiler in all of these things. Did you guys know that the Bills and the Panthers is going to be a game between two teams that are over 500. I mean, I don't think any of us would have guessed this if we were looking back at the beginning of the season, at this middle part of the season, that we were expecting Bills and Panthers to be an important game. I would say this about the Panthers. They're weird, especially at home. I don't know if there has been a more Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde team than we're talking about with this team. On the road, they're terrible this season. I mean, the Panthers lost to Jacksonville, got blown out, lost to Arizona, lost to the Patriots. They won 13-6 last week on the road against the Jets. So this is the Panthers team that when they go on the road, they're very mediocre. But at home, they've been very good. They beat the Falcons at home. They beat the Cowboys at home. So I know the spread says 7.5. That's something I would just completely stay away from. Carolina, they have had the most Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde approach when it comes to home and road games. I just don't want anything to do with it. I would just completely stay away from it if I'm being completely honest with you about it. I think this is a dangerous spot for Buffalo. This schedule was tailor-made for them to end up being the one seed in the AFC. Things are not going according to plan. Kansas City has really turned things on. Denver's good. The Chargers might be good this year. The Colts have certainly thrown themselves into the mix. So that competition for the one seed, it's not going to be easy. You got to go on the road and you're going to have to earn it against a Carolina team that, as I've mentioned, has played very, very difficult at home. The Bears, they are 6.5-point road dogs going to a 1-5 Baltimore team. Lamar's back. I think the Bears are in the conversation in the NFC. Almost a half the conference is in the conversation in the NFC. Just a bunch of teams just thrown in the mix when looking at the NFC when it comes to Chicago. I don't know what to make of this Ravens team. You guys know I made that bet a few weeks ago that I don't think the Ravens are going to make the postseason, and I've looked pretty smart since then. But you get Lamar back, that opens things up. Maybe the defense can get a couple of stops. Like, Caleb Williams doesn't really have a win like this so far in his young career. Now, I know the Ravens are 1-5, but they're the oddest 1-5 team that I can remember in quite some time. Can the Bears go on the road and potentially take care of business? Or is this the beginning of the Ravens just kind of getting things going and starting to play with some momentum? I mean, they haven't had momentum really at any point this season. Like, there has not been a single point where you can say that the Ravens have played with momentum this year. Man, it's time to get going. Halloween is next week. There is no tomorrow. You got to start to get things going if you're the Baltimore Ravens. There's two major games on Sunday as well. The Cowboys go on the road to play the Broncos, and I think the Cowboys are a good team. Now, their defense is bad, but I feel like we've forgotten that Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. So far this season, Dak Prescott has 16 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Did you know that over the last 5 seasons, when Dak has been healthy, no team in the NFL scored more points than the Dallas Cowboys? And now you've given him a far better run game than we had anticipated with Javonte Williams. George Pickens is balling so far this year. CeeDee Lamb's a top 5 wide receiver in the league. I know he's dealt with some injuries this year. This is a Cowboys team that can put up points with absolutely anybody. This Broncos team, they've won some games they should have lost. They've lost some games that they should have won. They've been very hard to figure out. But I think that's the most intriguing game this week in the National Football League. You can probably flip a coin between that game and Packers and Steelers if you really want to. But I think the Cowboys and Broncos is just a very, very intriguing game. I think the Cowboys got a really, really good chance of going on the road and pulling off that upset. It does kind of feel like you can kind of pull the chair from under the Broncos, and we'll see if that ends up being the case in this one. And then we got Sunday Night Football. And Aaron Rodgers going up against his former team. The Packers are 4-1-1. The Steelers are 4-2. This feels like the same Steelers team that we've seen, but you got a home game against a good football team, the Packers. They've kind of come out on the other side of that very weird stretch. You remember, they lost to the Cleveland Browns and they tied the Dallas Cowboys, which now in hindsight maybe wasn't that bad of a deal. But the Packers sit right now and they look like they're one of the potential best teams in the National Football League. The Packers can do just a little bit of everything. I like Jordan Love. They can run the football effectively. They got a big-time weapon in the passing game. They got a couple of those weapons. Their defense now with Micah Parsons, who was one of the favorites to win Defensive Player of the Year. You guys know I picked the Packers to be the one seed in the NFC. Have you guys noticed how much we haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers so far this season? Aaron Rodgers has kind of stayed out of the way. It's funny. When you mind your own business, people just kind of leave you alone. And I got to give Aaron a lot of credit. He was doing basically whatever he wanted to do with the New York Jets. That's not really how he's played things with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's completing 68% of his passes, 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. This is an Aaron Rodgers this is the one that the Jets thought they were going to get. You can win with this quarterback. You can be viable with this quarterback. So I got to give Aaron Rodgers a lot of credit. We talk a lot about him when he's in the middle of things. I think we got to give him his credit when he stayed out of things. He hasn't caused any problems in Pittsburgh. He's not doing the Pat McAfee thing every Tuesday, not really in the headlines, just playing good football, got his team at 4-2, and one of the more intriguing matchups this weekend in the National Football League. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to local and we'll talk about what this weekend means for each of the 3 local coaches. And if you missed it, we were joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quinn Lucas. We'll do all that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.